we're going to see in this lesson that we're heading downhill. Last week we learned that husbands make very poor saviors. And we also learned that God wants us to be holy, and holy isn't being weird, but it's being whole. He wants to make our lives whole, because most of the time they're pretty well shot. She's back there at the door. Father, we just give you much praise today because you're in control. Lord, it seems like our world is out of control. So we are reassured, Lord, that your word guides us, it teaches us, and it shows us the way. And how grateful we are, Lord, none of this takes you by surprise. And that you have a purpose and a plan all through it. Help us, Lord, to be loving individuals, to accept people wherever they're at. I know I wouldn't be standing here today if somebody hadn't loved me to Christ. And I praise you for that, Lord. Now open up our hearts and our minds to learn what you would teach us today. Be our teacher, Lord, and hit home your truths. We'll give you all the praise for what you're going to accomplish here. And Lord, always begin with me. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would like to open up to Romans 1:18, I'm going to give you some dates.
Did you?
Did you? No, past. I don't know what the future is.
Just checking.
What do you think of when you read, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men? Probably most of us in this room would say that's something that follows death, like the judgment. Some would say, well, maybe that refers to the Great Tribulation. Your kids would probably say, oh, it's thunder and lightning. And some I have heard say, yeah, that tsunami was definitely a judgment. Or that hurricane was definitely a judgment. Or earthquakes. You know, during an earthquake, God gets to hear from a lot of people he usually doesn't hear from. So, actually, the wrath of God is not something to come, but it's present now. His wrath is everywhere present. It's being manifested by the invisible resistance of God to the evil of men. We live in kind of a tragic sense of life. It seems like you're just kind of getting things together and then something happens. Or you're finally having a wonderful, loving family that you're enjoying, and then something comes up. It's just that kind of life we live in. The wonder of wonders is God's wrath is always tempered by his mercy and his love and his care. Not like us, who like to blow up and let everybody know how we feel. Fortunately, God isn't that way. But we have a tragic sense of life. It's hard. We've been praying for some time for a little gal named Corinne. She has had ovarian cancer at age 14. And now it's all through her liver. And unless God steps in, she's going to be stepping out of this world. And then there's my daughter's friends who had a boy who went off to Christian camp. He dove in and broke his neck right here at the base of the neck. And he's totally incapacitated. Or how about Clark, who just graduated from high school and went out to challenge another driver, and he and his friend both were killed. And how about all the actions of men and their godlessness and wickedness? Oh, I have a new word for your vocabulary list. Godlessness. In fact, I have it on here, but this got so messed up this morning, I'm not going to give it to you. Godlessness is acting as though God doesn't exist. And isn't that pretty much where our society is at? Oh. We have selfish, hurtful acts of men towards one another. Every once in a while you'll read in the newspaper some senseless shooting someplace and somebody gets killed. Just a random shot. And so we might ask the question, why do we hurt one another? Well, we disregard God. Truth is hidden, and it's suppressed by men. That's part of your lesson today. But do you know that truth is necessary for freedom and godliness? We're just on the edge of going into bondage in this country. It grieves me. Every once in a while it just overwhelms me how truth has just been put aside and people say anything they want to. And it's very sad. You know, men avoid recognizing that God is at work in human affairs. So he's called something else. He's called karma, fate, nature, destiny. So it must be in your stars. Or may the force be with you. But the irony of this is these very same people will mention God daily by swearing. You never hear them say, karma, damn you, or nature, damn you, but they'll use God's name, the one they don't believe in. And I just find that a little ironic. And they'll even take an oath, and they'll say, so help me God. Of course, I don't know whatever God they have. But you know, truth is not vague. It's very visible. It's not difficult to comprehend. God displays himself in nature. Sometimes we're kind of asleep at it. But how can you visit Yellowstone and not be terribly impressed? Or how about Yosemite? There's nothing prettier in the spring. It's all around us. Sorry, that got to me. And when we go camping with our kids, we like to go take a night after campfire and drive down to the dam, and then we all go out on the dam. And then we lay down flat and look up at the heavens, and we turn off all our flashlights, and you see the glory of God. I've never seen so many stars. And that Milky Way, it's incredible. And you know what? The Big Dipper's there. Every year he's still there. And I think, God's in control. How can you say a wristwatch is made by intelligence and wisdom and skill, but your very heart that beats all the time? And when you see babies growing for you, especially grandbabies, aren't they wonderful? And roses smell. There's nothing more beautiful than that fragrance. It's stunning. And we say, well, all this happened by chance. I think the miracle of miracles is if you take an ovum and a sperm, which you can't see, and that makes a baby. All the DNA of the father, all the DNA of the mother goes into that. And that's a miracle. It's a miracle the baby lives through delivery. No, it's a miracle the mother lives through delivery. Elizabeth Barrett Browning wrote these words, and I've been thinking about them all week. Earth's crammed with heaven, and every common bush aflame with God. But only those who see take off their shoes. The rest sit around and pluck blackberries. I thought about that. Am I really looking for God in all the things around me? I probably overlook him so many times. Well, the scripture says man is without excuse. No one who really wants to find God will miss him. Jesus said, if you seek me with all of your heart, you'll find me. Now, I used to worry about the heathen. But then I heard a story of a young man whose father was a witch doctor, and he lived in a village off of one of the Amazon tributaries. Excuse me. And he looked around and said, there must be someone that made all this. So he took off, and he walked 300 miles till he came to a missionary station. And they were so impressed with who he was looking for that they sent him to the States to educate him and to give him some Bible training. Then he went back to that little village and won that village to the Lord. But you see, the first step is to seek him, isn't it? Jesus tells us to seek him all the time. And don't worry about how you'll be judged, because you'll be judged according to the amount of light that's given you. And besides, it's God's business. I'm so glad it's God's business. I know Jesus is not going to lose a one. He'll find everyone that belongs to him. Well, Paul says here in our lesson that men suppress the truth about God. And I can just quickly give you three steps down. It starts in verse 21. It's, they neither glorify God or give thanks. They ignore him. And I was writing that down. I thought, yeah, Thanksgiving. It's the turkey day. And I think, how insulting. How insulting. And I think these people drink God's water. They breathe God's air. They eat God's food. And they ignore him. And that's the first step. No thanksgiving. The second is, they claim to be wise in their own eyes, and they become fools. And I thought about that, and I thought, what that actually is saying is that a man sets himself up as the authority. And then he judges everything from his vantage point, and the problem is he's just being very foolish. As you well know, and we all well know, we don't have all the facts, ever. And then the third thing is, they suppress the truth of God for an image. And I tossed in the zodiac there because it seemed to kind of fit. But we don't have to put the zodiac in there. We have all kinds of idols. We even have a show called American Idol. And we... we have all kinds of idols. I heard one this summer that made me ponder it. He said his wallet was an idol. I thought about that. There's a lot of truth in that, isn't there? And we make idols out of sports figures. We make idols out of movie stars, TV stars, these athletes that do great wonders. But how foolish. It seems like Paul is telling us here, man suppresses the truth, and then we try to get him out of things. We take him out of our textbooks. Then we take him out of the public schools. Then we basically kick him out of our society. And we don't call it Easter break anymore. We call it spring break. And we don't call it Christmas season. We call it winter holiday. And this is all part of the process. And all they're doing is becoming futile in their own thinking. They're shutting the light out. And then they think wise in their own eyes. What a crock is all I can say. Well, I can remember when I was back 100 years ago, when I went to Simpson College. Well, that before I went to Simpson College, I went to San Francisco State. When it first opened in 1953, and I'm old, that's true. No problem. But I'm giving you a point that God allowed me to learn, which is kind of interesting. This fellow that took us over to school, he had a big Oldsmobile. Remember those cars? So we all piled in. We're kids, you know, we're just out of high school. We wanted to go downtown San Francisco to look at all the queers. That's what they were called in that day. And you know how many bars in San Francisco had this sort of thing? One. It was called the Black Cat. I remember that. And we didn't know any better, of course. But I thought, I didn't know anything either. I don't know when you learned about homosexuality, but it's certainly was something foreign to us in that day. Well, I went back to school in 1975, graduated in 77, but I took a marriage course from Dr. Mark Lee at Simpson College at that time. I just loved him. He was just such a great guy. And I was thinking, I'd tell you that he could imitate Mr. Magoo Now, there's probably only about half of you would even know who Mr. Magoo was.
<Plus. London.
laughs> That's true. Anyway, he got into all kinds of marriages, and from serial marriage and swapping partners. Now, he had two sisters, and I just had to fit this in here. He had one sister who had been married 19 times, and he had another sister who had been married 22. That's called serial marriage. And he asked both his sisters which was the best of those, the first one. Isn't that interesting? Anyway, there's swapping partners, and there's just all kinds of marriages. And, of course, he got into homosexuality. That was 1977. The number one surgery in San Francisco in 1977 was rectal repair. That's caused by your rectum is not made for what gays do. Bathhouses were all over the place, and S&M, and bondage, and tying up, whipping one another, urinating on each other, and so on. Now, the reason I've been open about that is simply because it's in our face again on the ballot. And they want to legalize homosexual marriage. Well, how did they get so much power? Well, most homosexuals are college educated. They have money. And it's not difficult. But now they want their lifestyle taught down to kindergarten age. And because they seek virgin territory, and then this whole thing of man-boy love, which is really man-boy rape, and then there's, of course, bestiality, and on it goes. And it's a very sad thing when it gets so prevalent in our society. But is this anything new? No. It's not the final step down, either. Every civilization, though, that has accepted homosexuality has fallen. In the Greek world, Socrates and other great Greek thinkers were all homosexual. In the Roman world, all of your, 14 out of 15 Caesars practiced homosexuality. But the problem is, with this perversion then comes child abuse. It's just like the door is being opened. And I've often asked God, why does he allow this sort of thing? But you see, it's all part of pushing God out of our society, pushing against the Lord, not wanting him to, you know, we're going to cast all these things off. I don't know if you can read this or not. But the floodgates open, and in 1960, we could easily put that next to verse 24. That was called the sexual revolution. There was Woodstock, there was Haight Ashbury in San Francisco, there was LSD, there was the Flower Children, there was the killings on college campuses, and one thing after another. It wasn't much of a revolution, really. It just brought in all kinds of disease, and God gave them up. Now, obviously, homosexuality started a lot sooner, coming out of the closet. But there's a rough figures here. And then in 1980, sexual perversion, again, sex is such a wonderful thing, but it's so easily misused. God intended one man, one woman to be married, not man and man, or woman and woman. And all I can say is it's taking your fist to God and saying, I don't like the way you made me. Or, I don't like what you've dictated. We're going to do it our way. And then it's, why does God allow it? Well, it's not without a cost. As I say, his wrath is here. You might not see it, but it's called the wrath of abandonment. God gave them up. And the next step in 1980, of course, was sexual perversion, and God gave them up again. And the thing, my Bible has a blurb here about it. Let's see. Verse 27. Likewise also the men leaving the natural desire and the women burned with lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful. And receiving in themselves the penalty of their error. Now, my Bible has this little blurb, and I'm just going to pass it on to you. It says, I better read the whole thing. Homosexuality is a sin, according to Leviticus 18:23. In this passage, the point is not that homosexuality is a sin that should be punished. Rather, homosexuality in itself is the punishment. Now, that was a new thought to me, and I wanted to pass that on to you. More men have been given over to the shameful passions, thus they receive in themselves the penalty of their error. And I wrote in 1980, I have right next to that, I have AIDS. That's about when it came on the scene. And then, of course, God gave them up. That's called the wrath of abandonment. But much greater are the spiritual sins, and that's the next section. And it's, before I get to that, what is behind this, Dr. Mark Lee said, is that homosexuality is addicting because of the orgasm effect that comes. And it's just like a drug, they become addicted to it. And I need to say that when I went to school first time in 1953, 100 years ago, there was only 2 venereal diseases. And then when all the sexual revolution just opened up the floodgates, and now I think there's about 30. It's unbelievable. You know, as I say, God intends sex to be within the marriage bounds, and it's wonderful. It's fabulous. And when you start swapping partners or all the rest of it, it's just like it's built in. Then the diseases come. Now, what do you do if you have a son or daughter that's in this lifestyle? You fast and pray for them. I would do that at least once a week. In fact, I keep getting memos in the email to fast and pray for the election, and I think I would encourage you to do that too. They said, especially the day before. We are in trouble as a nation, that's all I can say. And then my daughter laid one on me last night. She said, Mom, did you know 25% of the population in the United States is addicted to some kind of drug? I thought, wow, they're all out there driving. No. Well, I've got a 15-and-a-half-year-old driving, and I think, you don't want to go to Gilroy. You're taking your life in your hands. Actually, his father's a policeman, and he drives very well. So, then I would pray that my child would open, God would open their eyes to see that it is a choice, it's a bad choice, and that they would long for things that God can give them. That is really what's behind all of our, we want to be loved, we want to give love, we want to be satisfied, we want somebody to really know us, and there's only one person that can. And we try to fill up that hole with all kinds of other things, and it can't be filled. It's the Lord Himself. And it's a desire to worship and be worshiped. John 15 tells us about abiding in the vine. When Jesus prayed, John 17, He prayed that just like the Father was in Him, and He and the Father, He desired that for His own. That's where your satisfaction comes. It isn't in another man or another husband or whatever else we can stick in that hole. It's just for the Lord Himself. Well, then we get into the list of sins that brings judgment. I thought I'd read it to you out of the Message. Now, this is not a Bible to do your lesson in. It's a paraphrase by one man. But I would highly recommend if you have a Living Bible or NIV or, let's see, I sometimes don't understand the passage myself, so I look in other Bibles trying to get the feel of it. But this is pretty interesting. This is Romans, I think it's Romans 1:28 and following. Since they didn't bother to acknowledge God, God quit bothering them and let them run free. And then all hell broke loose. Rampant evil, grabbing and grasping, vicious backstabbing, they made life hell on earth with their envy, wanton killing, bickering, and cheating. Look at them. mean-spirited, venomous, fork-tongued, God-bashers, bullies, swaggards, insufferable windbags. That's none of us, of course. They ditch their parents when they get in. When they get in the way. Stupid. I can't read it. Sorry. Stupid, slimy, cruel, cold-blooded. And it's not as if they didn't know better. They know perfectly well. They're spitting in God's face. And they don't care. Worse, they hand out prizes to those who do the worst things best. Kind of sobering, isn't it? Those are the sins of the spirit from verse, oh, I don't know, you can take it from 29 on down. And that will give you really, I think, a description of the end times. To back that up, I'll give it to you from 2 Timothy 3. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Lord, this really describes our country, our nation. It's getting very dark. And Lord, you allow it to become dark because then your light shines through. It shines best. And Lord, help us not to be discouraged by the direction of our society. Help us, Lord, to represent you well in this dark time. And Lord, that anyone that has a child or an adult child that's in a wrong lifestyle, God, help them to accept that young person, to be an example to them, to love them to you. Lord, no one was ever won for anything by being bashed over the head. And Lord, you have said so many times in your word how much you love us, and that's the kind of love that we need to have, unconditional love towards others. Lord, I thank you that you're just a breath away, that you have our society all checked out, Lord. You know exactly what's going on, and you're lifted high and holy in our hearts. Lord, I pray there's someone here today that does not know you. Perhaps all they have is religion or church going, good things, but not knowing you, not a relationship with you. Lord, I pray that each of us would examine our hearts to see if we indeed are in the fold, that we're rightly related to you, that our sins are forgiven, and that we have your robes of righteousness. I don't have it any other way. Well, God, work in each of our hearts. These are dark days, and we need to be lights, and help us to love one another, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.